Here's Cousins. Pressure on him. And the ball's out again. And the Bills recovered again at the 25-yard line.
Hello, hello. Let's go. It's your man, Flip Mozzie. Thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. Here we are in week 4. See, now it's a short week. We don't have time for the full word. It's week 4. Our Minnesota Vikings travel to Los Angeles. I'll be at this game. Couldn't be more excited. Just don't get to see this team live all that often. The Vikings face another serious NFC contender when they go against the undefeated LA Rams. Victory won't come easy this Thursday without our Purple's best effort. We're here to get ready for Thursday night, see how we match up with a team at the top of the conference, and make a winning game plan. But first, let's take a look back at the week that was. First, we have to take a moment to pay our respect to Everson Griffin. Not here to speculate on what happened or discuss rumors. We're only pausing to remember that some things, a lot of things, are more important in our lives than football. Take the time you need, Griff. You have our full support. Now for the game. An utter failure took place last Sunday. Minnesota failed to take advantage of a good home matchup against the Buffalo Bills. They didn't play a clean game. Penalties by Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr started the day. They couldn't keep their quarterback upright. Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers were big-time disappointments. Cousins failed at protecting the football, having a hand in all three turnovers. Couldn't contain rookie quarterback Josh Allen, and they lost because of it. My main issue with this game? We've seen a lot of slow starts during the Mike Zimmer era. Probably too many. But what bothered me is the fact that we didn't battle back like we usually do. After getting punched in the mouth early, we still endured another fumble, 4 more 3 and outs, and allowed 3 more scoring drives. It was time for the Vikings to wake up, and instead they just kept on sleeping. The Bills scored on their first 5 possessions. Vikings called 4 run plays. Cousins kept on checking down, and by halftime things were still trending down, not up. Nothing changed, and to be clear, I'm not talking about play calling or scheme. In times of adversity, we need to see the athletes on the field. The players, a player, somebody step up. Reiff to finish a block, Barr to make a tackle, Smith to force a turnover, Diggs to make a tough catch. Somebody needs to step up. Rip the momentum back in our favor. Demonstrate leadership to get us back in the game. That didn't happen Sunday. It was the most disappointing part of the game. The stats show the game was there for the taking in the second half. Now, obviously, Buffalo's strategy changed. They became conservative with the big lead, but their overall success rate was 41%. Nothing special. Even their first half success rate of 44%, only average. For comparison, Minnesota had a 45% success rate in that game. Bad defense wasn't the main reason for this loss. It was penalties, terrible field position, turnovers. Even that third quarter interception looms large. It ended any thought of a comeback attempt. Allen really had an average day. The best thing he did was win plays with his legs. The Vikings aimed to take away the middle of the field. It worked, but they lost containment on several scrambles, even passes to the sidelines, one that went for a touchdown. Those plays were way more important than any hurdle over Barr. Cousins was efficient, but it was a Sam Bradford impression. Thielen and Rudolph had high success rates. Big loser here is Stephon Diggs, just a 10% success against Buffalo. I said Diggs was a key matchup against Tre'Davious White last week. White won that battle, easily. Riley Reiff played like hot garbage, honestly. Better play from those two alone, Diggs and Reiff, will change everything. Then there's the run game, 4 designed runs, 6 total, 17% success. Why even dress 4 running backs if that's how you're going to use them? Where were the runs to set up play action? Where were the screens? It's gut check time for John DiFilippo. Mike Zimmer used to go at Norv Turner for a bad offensive performance. It's time to put JDF in the doghouse. our team gave Buffalo the ball at our own 48-yard line on average during all their scoring drives. They turned the ball over in the pass game 3 times, couldn't run. Minnesota is the 3rd least efficient running team in the NFL right now. They're just average everywhere else. So we're going to leave that entire game behind quickly. We're going to switch it up from that 93-7 pass run ratio, task our offensive line to generate push in the run game, keep the defense honest when facing our pass attack. Admitting they can't run to opposing defense will get them nowhere. We're going to keep Kirk clean, let him attack, not check down. Going to generate better field position, force the offenses to drive down the entire field on us. And what are we taking with us? Not much. Pat Elflein is back, Dalvin Cook might be. Let's hope they make the offense better. With all that said, it's time to focus on the Los Angeles Rams. So it's time to talk about the best opponent to date for the 2018 Minnesota Vikings. In my preseason podcast, the Rams ranked as the 2nd hardest opponent of the season. This is a big show, baby. This is Thursday night primetime against a big-time opponent. This is the game that changes narrative. The last time our Vikes played LA, it was a similar type of game, but at home. 2-7-2 teams clashed at US Bank Stadium. The Rams marched straight down the field for a TD on their opening possession and didn't score again. Latavius Murray was critical, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns on just 15 carries. Anthony Harris forced a huge fumble on the goal line to sway all momentum, then Adam Thielen burned the Rams secondary for 65 yards to put it away. The Vikings showed up big for the big spot. Will they do it again? It won't be easy. The Rams have the most efficient running attack in the NFL right now, headed by their stud Todd Gurley. Malcolm Brown's effectiveness shows that their offensive line is getting the job done too. LA is 5th in passing success, 56%. Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp in that order. They target receivers on 74% of their throws. Defensively, Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh, Michael Brockers, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, those guys make them the 2nd most efficient pass defense. They have both the ability to cover and pressure quarterbacks into those ill-advised throws. So where's the weak link? It's the run defense. They're only ranked 21st there. Only teams haven't been able to run offense against them because they're getting blown out. LA is the NFC team to beat right now. These NFC games matter a lot, and that's why this game is important. A win here gives our purple a tiebreaker against another NFC contender, moves them up in a jumbled conference standing. A victory stokes the flames of this team's confidence, gives them an extended 10-day break before their next contest. This game will not be easy, and that's a great thing. This is exactly the test that our Vikings need to respond to after that pathetic effort on Sunday. There's no time to sulk or rest or overthink. There's only time to get better. Rise to the challenge. Show the entire NFL that they're a contender. Games this good come chock full of fun, enticing matchups. Some have clear advantages, but here we talk about the close calls. The Rams' offensive line has held up very well so far. It's allowed Jared Goff to be effective down the field, striking to his receivers rather than dumping off to Gurley. Danielle Hunter's broad shoulders must change that fate. He goes against a marquee right tackle, Rob Havenstein. PFF's 5th best tackle is in his prime. His 5th year after being picked late in the 2nd round of the 2015 draft. What's that, you say? An elite right tackle from the 2nd round of the draft? Who would have thought that possible? Either way, Hunter simply has to find a way. It's not an option, it's just necessary. He's good enough to make noise too. With 3 mouths all eating, it's going to be hard to stop the Rams receivers. Our best hope lies in our best cornerback, Xavier Rhodes. He'll see a lot of Brandon Cooks on Thursday. Cooks is averaging 110 yards per game. If Xavier can close those Rhodes on him, that's a big part of LA's offense gone. Again, it's a tall task, so that's why we're putting CB1 on it. Xavier has been in position, but it's time to make plays on the ball when it's in the air. Use his length and power to change the game. I also think that a huge game will be needed out of Mackenzie Alexander in the slot. Both Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp have grown in year two of Sean McVay's offense. It's not the tight ends, but Kupp, who has been Jared Goff's safety valve, and he has the ability to make big plays too. Mack will need to improve massively to handle this assignment. No more miscommunications leaving wide open runners, and he'll need to close on running backs in the flat too. Most probably don't think Alexander can hang here. I do. We just need three nice plays from him. Just three plays. On offense, again, we need to win the close battles. Our receivers without Peters and Tlaib, their defensive line with Sue and Donald, those matchups look pretty lopsided. I'm looking at the second level of talent for both teams. First, the former free agent Nickell Roby-Coleman will have much to do on Thursday. He's the only starter left from a cornerback group that has dominated receiver, and he's ranked 14th on PFF. If they keep him in the slot, there will be Laquon Treadwell staring back at him. Treadwell regained some form on Sunday. If he can give Kirk a third option, it'll put the Rams in a bind. And while we're not sure what Dalvin Cook will look like, again, it's important to remember he just hasn't been that efficient in the running game. Latavius Murray has been better there. Remember, running has been the most consistent way to attack Los Angeles, if it's still a close game, that is. Murray will be tasked to get the tough yards and to take advantage of the weakest parts of LA's defense, the linebackers, headlined by Mark Barron. The Tay train needs to be chugging on Thursday night. So here we are ready to ride with our Week 4 X-Factor. Hunter, Rhodes, Alexander, Treadwell, and Murray. These men will have to take this step to lead us into contention. Outside of the matchups, there's a simple fact this game will be tough. A couple athletes show this. Let's start with Todd Gurley coming off a huge day. It's hard to see him not having another one. He's extremely versatile. Minnesota's linebackers, Barr and Eric Kendricks, have been whisper quiet this year. I could see Todd getting another 100 yards easily with a receiving touchdown. In fact, if LA reverses their game plan to run the offense through Gurley, it could pay big dividends for them. If they sit back and let Goff throw, we're hoping we can win there. That's our shot at this one. I'll admit I don't have much proof here. The D has been average. Goff has been great this year, but maybe if we can get him on some long fields, give our guys, Kendricks, Hunter, Richardson, Smith, give them enough chances. They just seem due for some splash plays. So call me bold, but that's what the segment is for. I'm saying Jared Goff will have 3 turnovers on Thursday. I'm begging for a game where he can get a lead, force Goff to operate under pressure. He hasn't had to do that yet. How do our purple get that lead? That's the big question. It's been a gargantuan task blocking Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. I don't see a path forward there given how our offensive line has played through 3 games. What the hell is up with Brett Jones? We were supposed to slide him over to guard after Elfline returned, but there you saw last game Pat comes in and Tom Compton's still playing. Looks like the Giants knew something about Jones when they traded him away, and y'all, he carries a heavy price tag too. So it'll be Compton against Sue? Yeah, we take the loss there and Donald will factor in too. They each had 5 pressures against the Chargers on Sunday. I'm guessing they combined for 4 sacks on Thursday night. The only way to loosen that pressure will be through scheme. DeFilippo must be better and give LA's defense a full plate. If you can get past the line, their linebackers are beatable, and Dalvin Cook was sorely missed last week. So I just expect Cook to be at the center of things if he's fully healthy. Find a way to get Dalvin to the second level. Take advantage of over-aggressiveness. Make them think about play action. Get our backfield chef involved in some screens and hit a home run on them. Dalvin Cook will have 150 all-purpose yards Thursday night. Mike Zimmer said he wasn't worried about his team, and neither am I. Great teams play great every week. The Vikings didn't do that, but it's in the past now. There's no time to look back, and we've seen flashes of excellence this year. It's time to put it all together. It's time for the offense to arrive. Time to go head-to-head with Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Aaron Donald, and Ndamukong Suh. Take their best shot and give it right back. Be great, because greatness is the only thing that will bring home a victory. Skol Vikes.